everyone. Welcome to the program Beyond Winning, where we discuss the many aspects of high school basketball from the perspective of coaches and individuals that have dedicated most of their lives to the game. Here we want to promote insight into the strategies, intent, and the impact of coaches as it relates to the development of young men and women who pursue the game. We will discuss the history and highlights, the successes and instances where success escaped them. We want to get at the soul of coaching. We want to get beyond the X's, beyond the O's, and beyond winning. If you would like to catch up with us at Beyond Winning, please follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at BW_SOC. Today, we are live streaming parts of the program on Instagram. You can also mail us at bwsoulofcoaching@gmail.com. Returning to the program today is Coach Maurice Jones. Coach Jones, as you might remember, played his college basketball at Anderson University. He's coached at several high schools in the area, Butler, West Mecklenburg. He also has coached at the college level as an assistant at the Citadel, and currently is the head coach at Philip O. Berry, where he's been at Berry, I believe, going into seven years now, and he's spent 17 years as a coach.
Yep.
Coach Jones, good afternoon, and thanks for being here back at the program.
Thanks for having me back. Thanks for having me back, Rich. It's always a pleasure to kind of come back and talk basketball.
Well, that's great, man. The last program we did, that was really a treat. It was an extraordinarily positive program.
Okay.
Coach Jones, school starts in about a couple of weeks.
Oh, yeah.
And several of your players.
Oh, man.
I hear you. Several of your players have been playing, mm-hmm. In the national tournaments with their AAU teams.
Yep.
What types of things are you doing to prepare for this upcoming season?
The biggest things, like I kind of alluded to, is rest. I preach to my kids about kind of stepping away from, training and the grueling day in, day out hours you put in the basketball and training your body and mind. Because the biggest thing is once you kind of step away from it, rest a little bit, you get a better view of things you need to improve on, as far as on the court, off the court, personal, just kind of trying to get everything in order before – everything starts back up right back again in September. So that's the biggest thing. The other thing I try to, around this time of year, other than going around and seeing some of my guys at the different AAU venues, for one, is just to kind of, see how they're progressing, see how they're growing. And from that, we just, look at the roster of possible returning guys and things of that nature, possible new guys, and just – tweak offensive and defensive philosophies going in and try to take a whole approach to, what we're about to go into in September.
I got you. I got a new philosophy I want to revisit with you,
okay.
Later on in the program. I've asked this question to several of the guests.
Mm-hmm.
Usually the college coaches kind of make their rounds in the fall.
Uh-huh.
What has been your experience in that recruiting process?
Well, as I've gotten, a little bit up in years in coaching, and having success early on, it kind of allowed me to, from playing and from coaching at the college level a little bit, and being around these guys for so long, it makes the process a lot easier because most of those guys that come in those gyms and recruit guys, I can, pick up my phone and just give them a call. Like these, I can actually say a lot of these guys are friends of mine. So that really makes the process a lot easier and cuts through a lot of the red tape as far as, me and the coach getting to know each other. Because if people don't realize it, the basketball coaching world, high school and college, is really small. So you either know somebody who knows somebody. You're probably one or two people removed from everybody in the basketball circle. So as far as recruiting guys, be honest and upfront and just kind of – you got to realize, your name is on the line just like those kids' names are on the line when, people are kind of asking for your stamp of approval on a kid and be honest about a kid because at the end of the day, you don't ever want a situation to arise to where, a college coach comes to your gym and, quote unquote, he got sold a bad thing of goods and, you don't want that to kind of hurt a kid, 2, 3, 4, 5 years down the line.
Mm-hmm.
So just the process to me is a lot easier now, across the board. So.
Yeah, and it's almost like the job interview process.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
It's a reference,
oh, yeah.
you know, experience.
Oh, yeah.
Those coaches are coming to you.
Exactly.
And there's a few things that I see from some of the coaches that put some stuff out on Twitter.
Oh, yeah.
They're really looking at the intangible type of things.
Oh,
yeah. You know, they're looking at, you know, how is the kid when he's on the bench?
There you go.
How is he when, you know, you have to lean on him a little bit?
There you go.
You know, those kind of things.
And that's the biggest thing as far as I'm concerned, because I came in learning from a lot of the older guys. So learning from a lot of older guys, playing college basketball and coaching it, I kind of see it from a different you know, a different lens, and a lot of my kids tend to want to actually hear because they really don't care about the little things as much now, more so than, you know, kids have had in the past. And those little intangibles, like you brought up, pretty much because everybody can dribble, everybody can shoot, everybody can pass, everybody can jump and run. So, I mean, those little things pretty much separate, you know, the level of where kids go play.
Yeah. Now, you've had several open gyms over the summer,
mm-hmm.
and so you've had some of your players come back,
right.
some other players,
oh,
from,
yeah.
You know, notables around
oh, yeah.
the city, and
yeah.
even some kids on the pro level.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I think yeah. one of them were on cover of Sports Illustrated,
oh, yeah.
you know, the national champion. So
oh, yeah.
talk to us a little bit about that, and what are they telling you about, you know, their experiences?
Now, the biggest thing is the beauty of watching these kids grow and actually learn, you know, everything that I taught them or every coach that's coached them kind of taught them, and they kind of learn and grow and really like growing to be young men. I mean, you know, you always look at them as kids and when, you know, when you were coaching them early on, but now these kids are growing and they're, you know, young men. And I mean, just a few to name, like Dante Clark, who's, you know, signed professionally overseas, BJ Gladden, who just signed in Spain, Marcus Johnson, who's playing overseas now, DeJuan Graff, Che Bob, who's at Colorado State and is about to be playing professional basketball.
Mm-hmm.
And also some conference foes, like Kennedy Meeks came in the gym a few times to play. But my main reason for doing that is, for one, to allow my kids now to see, you know, to kind of see, okay, there is light in the tunnel. And the top of that, to kind of get them to beat them up a little bit and just to get them to understand where they are and give them a realistic view of, this is what a Division I, Division II, Division III college basketball player looks like.
Mm-hmm.
This is what a professional basketball player looks like. And this is what you have to, how hard you have to work to attain whatever goal you're trying to attain.
Yeah, yeah. You know, it's interesting. You know, DeJuan, he was a little bit, I think he graduated the year before you
mm-hmm.
got there, but
yes,
he played
did.
A couple of years there at Barry. And it was interesting to hear DeJuan talk. I think
oh, yeah.
I had a conversation with DeJuan, and I talked more to him.
Yeah.
In that
yeah.
one conversation
yeah.
that I might have talked to him the whole time he was in
oh, yeah.
high school.
Oh, yeah.
And DeJuan, you know, was always around.
Uh-huh.
I mean, he was always around my son and
oh, yeah.
the neighbors, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So it was really interesting. He talked about his overseas experience.
There you go.
Not even having Wi-Fi,
uh-huh.
you know, not
yeah.
the language, that kind of
yeah.
thing. But you could really see the growth and the development,
yeah.
you know, from a you know, just a mm-hmm. you know, just his growing and maturing,
yeah,
you know, from that standpoint.
Because right now they're dealing with grown-up problems.
They're not
just worrying about going to the lunchroom, girls, whatever. They're worrying about, you know, how I got to pay. And I was talking to Marcus. He was talking about paying taxes and things like that. And, you know, just I got an apartment here I got to take care of. I got to make sure I'm good overseas. So it's like these things now that they're dealing with on top of basketball, it's kind of forced them to, you know, and also being in a foreign country forced them to kind of grow up beyond their years really early, you know.
Mm-hmm. We
yeah.
had Corey Rayleigh Ross on
okay.
A couple of weeks ago,
mm-hmm.
and it was interesting the things that he talked about.
Oh, yeah.
Same type of things,
mm-hmm.
You know, being in a different country,
yep.
learning the people, how
yeah.
they responded to him,
yeah.
you know, the challenges, and then the levels of competition.
There you go.
You know, from that standpoint. Tell me, so you've had the summer to kind of reflect.
Uh-huh.
You're going into the, you know, the new season.
Right.
What do you think are some of the biggest concerns with the game? And then what do you think are some of the biggest concerns, you know, with players today?
Okay. I don't want to get on my soapbox. I mean, that's a
it's just me and you
yeah.
talking.
I could probably, and you could ask some of, you know, other coaching buddies of mine. I mean, we could sit in a room and talk for days. And I don't want to sound like, you know, the grumpy old man. But, you know, at the end of the day, the biggest concern, and I guess it's a culture that's been happening over the past few years, just kids you know, not trusting the process where they are and just, you know, and not understanding it takes a ton of hard work that they think that just going to a gym and getting shots up and, you know, out in the driveway and getting shots up or, you know, and missing, like you were saying earlier, little nuances that they actually really need to work hours upon hours upon hours on. But when kids don't understand that wholly, they tend to think that you're out to get them, you point the finger at them. But at the end of the day, like, our job is to make them better at all costs. And when kids don't see that, you know, or don't feel that they that you're kind of, you know, on board with whatever they're trying to do, whatever their mindset is, whatever mom, dad, aunt, uncle, AAU coach is telling them, you know, you're kind of the bad guy. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, you know, we're kind of, and I kind of look at ourselves and a few other guys I talk to, you know, every day, like, you know, like Kirby or, you know, Coach Lowry over at Butler or Coach Bumgarner down in Westwood in Columbia. But when we have these conversations, we kind of look at ourselves as, you know, basketball purists, so to speak. You know, we kind of think that the hard work, the little things are what we tend to preach and teach a lot more than, you know, a lot of other people.
Yeah.
But the biggest concerns, I think, is the movement in high school basketball right now. Because if you've noticed, I'm not sure what the exact number is. It was in the 300s, maybe 360, of college athletes transferring every year. And you see the list every year when it comes out. Kids unhappy at school A, they want to transfer to school B. But that same mentality, that same trend, is actually trickling down to high school now.
High school free agents.
So around you know, springtime, when you know, April, May hits, you notice all these kids on social media, you know, saying little things, and you know, as far as like, well, I'm moving to this school now, or I'm going over here to play with my buddies. But you know, when you look at things like that, and kids not really willing to trust the process and understand that Coach A really has your best interest in mind, and he won't lie to you, he won't bite his tongue, and just having conversations with these kids, it's tough to trust somebody at your age right now who promises you anything, who doesn't make you work for anything, who doesn't, you know, just push you into the point where you're extremely uncomfortable, because, you know, when you're uncomfortable, that's the only way you're going to grow.
Right.
But that's kind of the second part of the concern I have, as far as kids being, you know, working to be uncomfortable to actually get better. So, I don't know, mental toughness, I guess that would be a big part of it. But, I mean, I can go on and on for days, but those are some of the big things I noticed in today's game.
Well, you raise a good point. I mean, there's that point at which you got to get uncomfortable.
There you go.
You got to get in that space. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know you have your process.
Right.
I know Ty Bumgarner, he has a process.
Yep.
Like, you can't even play
right,
if you don't achieve this process, you know, from that end. You can't
even
be in the mix.
Yeah.
So that's a key point. Coach Jones, we're gonna stop right here for a break, and we're gonna pick up the program on the other side of the break.
Okay.
Because you got a lot of thoughts going. I can tell.
And I
still got to introduce some that thought to you. So, this is Beyond Winning. I'm here with Coach Maurice Jones at Philip O'Berry Academy, and I'm Richard Lancaster. And we'll see you on the other side of the break. Beyond the X's, beyond the O's, beyond winning. This is Beyond Winning, and we're here with Coach Maurice Jones, and we're just going to pick up our conversation from the other side of the break. Coach Jones, unfortunately, and I believe this happened a couple of weeks ago, I think they had a memorial service. Another young man passed away. I think he might have competed against you when he was at Rocky River.
Oh, yeah.
But Mickey Maddox.
Oh, yeah.
if you would, let's say a few words about
Mickey. Once again, my prayers go out to the Maddox family. I know it's tough, you know, just the whole process period about, you know, death and all that. But for a kid that young to, you know, pass away, I mean, I know that's extremely tough for the parents. But I just remember Maddox being a small guy, but extremely explosive, worked extremely hard. And I mean, it's kind of sad to see that happen to that type of kid.
Yeah. That's the one thing that, it's a community,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's a community. And even though, the kids woof at each other, uh-huh. and you know they do their, you know, they do their talking. Sometimes y'all coaches woof at each other.
You know?
But at the end of the day, you know, I think, mm-hmm. I think there's that environment where, everybody is glad that they're in the mix and glad to see each other. It's unfortunate. I think this is the second young man that related to the basketball community, at least in the last couple of months.
Couple months, yeah.
Yeah, from that standpoint. Let me go back to your preparation that you talked about, and I might have asked you this question before. I know I've asked this with coaches several times, and it raises some interesting responses.
Okay.
Here's the phrase.
All right.
Defense is offense.
And I guess the difference, I had to learn that the hard way, my freshman, sophomore year of college, because going in there, you know, you thinking you got to score the basketball. And that was my way. I thought that you had to stay on the court, but I mean, going through that whole process and understanding and actually developing into a pretty darn good defender. Understanding, you know, angles and just being able to not let another team score the basketball. I mean, you can actually win a basketball game. The score was 4-0, and I mean, if you score the 4 points, you win. If you hold another team to zero, you win. So I mean,
mm-hmm.
Just from that mindset, and I mean, it is a grimy, gritty, tough, grinded out mindset the kids need to have to understand. Like, that's how you win basketball games. That's how you keep wins coming in and just, you know, keep demoralizing other teams from a mental standpoint.
Mm-hmm. But when you're, you know, talking to kids about that, mm-hmm. you know, and you talked about pushing them to be uncomfortable.
There you go.
You know, you talk about, you know, the work that you got to do on defense.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've heard coaches say that, you know, rebounding is, you know, it's a want-to thing.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
You know, you got to want to go get that ball
more
than anybody else out there.
Mm-hmm.
And it all speaks to, you know, there have been books that are out about it. One, I think Billis has a book.
Yep.
Toughness.
Yeah.
Okay. From that standpoint, are you seeing that in the young men today? Are you, you know, what, and are you seeing it at different levels?
Right now, I mean, like we kind of touched on it earlier, as far as like the, you know, kids don't want to do, nowadays, more of them don't. I'm not gonna say all of them. More of them now don't want to do the little things like that, because once again, it's a little tougher, it's a little harder. You kind of get uncomfortable when you got to box a guy out, contest a shot, and box a guy out, like, and then go grab a rebound. That's three tough movements you have to make consistently in a disciplined, you know, setting. So where, it's easier just to kind of fly by a guy after he takes a shot and try to, you know, get on the other end on offense and try to score, but. Like you said, coaches all day can preach, you know, angles and box out drills and just, you know, and how you box a guy out and get the hip on him and turn around and whatever you got to do. But at the end of the day, like you said, when that ball comes off the rim and you've done all those steps the coach asked you to do, like, it's about toughness. It's about just wanting to go get the basketball and not letting your other guy get the basketball.
Now here's one question, and you talked about trust.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me, what do you think are some of the ingredients, some of the strategies that you've used to develop that trust, to ingrain in some young men that want to, you know, that you know, I don't, you know, that I don't give a damn.
There you go.
I'm gonna go get it.
Right, and that right now, in it, you can ask a ton of coaches now today when you see a kid like that. who really don't care, who run through a brick wall for you. It's kind of a breath of fresh air. Mm. But that type kid, he's going to be that type kid regardless. No matter how what we do, you know, drill wise, he's going to be that type of kid regardless. Only thing the drill is going to do is make him more sound doing it.
Yeah.
But just some things we try to do is toughness drills every day, just making sure that, you know, kids understand, like, come hell or high water, like, we're going to be tough. We're going to defend, and we're going to rebound the basketball, and we're going to do these little things, and it's not going to be easy. You're going to sweat a lot. You might bleed a little bit. You might get bumps and bruises, but at the end of the day, like, you know, we will do these toughness drills day in, day out until mm-hmm. you actually get the hang of, you know, we want to be on the positive side on, you know, the rebounding battle.
Yeah. There was one event, and I used the experience that I have, and so I am a little biased. Mm-hmm. You know, the 2013-2014 team that you had, okay? But there was one point in time in the season mm-hmm. where I saw those young men go to the center court
uh-huh.
around that cardinal.
Yep.
They all huddled up. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what they said. You right. know, they probably, you know, motivated type of thing. We all we got, we all we need, something like that. At that point in time, mm-hmm. I think it happened early in the January. At that point in time, I said, that's a team.
Oh, yeah.
That's
yeah.
a team.
Yeah. Just thinking about that team, that 13-14 team, it kind of gives me chills a little bit just from the simple fact of everything I said, everything I wrote down, everything I talked, just everything completely was – I can – from looking in their eyes, they soaked up everything I said like a sponge. Didn't have to repeat anything. It got to the point where, you know, your son, Josh Lancaster, Kelvin Brim, Devarius Christian – Quentin Codman, Matt Powell, those guys would actually, it was always a break in to where, you know, I'd be in the office just tweaking my practice plan and things like that. And I noticed they would come in, hang out, talk a little bit. They would kind of like peer over at the practice plan. And then they would just kind of leave, disappear. The first time they did, it was kind of odd, but then I heard, you know, balls bouncing. I heard sneakers squeaking. By the time I got in the gym, maybe 5-6 minutes after they left, they were already in the shell drill. They were already in partner pass, and they were already in form shooting. So from that point, like you were saying, like you saw they had a team, like I knew I had a team at that point.
Yeah. And that's, I think, you know, and I'm not trying to put words in your mouth,
yeah.
but just from a standpoint of coaching,
mm-hmm.
you know, when your philosophy takes hold.
Right.
When like you say, you know, they look at the notes,
yep.
and then they go put it in practice.
There you go.
You know, I remember some of those young men saying back in September,
mm-hmm.
you know, you had them, you know, out there on the football field, soccer field, wherever you had them. And a couple of them, you know, they had to go over to the side,
there you
do
go.
What they had to do.
There you go.
But there was two or three of them pulling them back in, saying, hey, man, we got to get this.
Yep.
We got to go do this
oh,
from
yeah.
that standpoint.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's, you know, that seems to be at least one of the benefits, the joys of coaching.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Just seeing kids fight through, like you said, adversity. And on the flip side of that, have enough camaraderie to kind of pull their brother along. I mean,
mm-hmm.
that's what team sport, not only basketball, but that's what team sport's all about. And, I mean, once you see kids kind of buy into that and actually do the little things like that transitions over onto the court. Because, I mean, after I get beat, you know, I don't have to yell help. My teammates, he's there because he saw I'm beat, I needed help. And that kind of helps with rotations defensively. That helps with making an extra pass on offense. So, I mean, like you said, it all starts in September, and it kind of carries over onto the court. But you notice a lot of teams, a lot of kids don't see that as that. They think it's, you know, it's punishment and them, you know, doing certain things, but it's a part of the process.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So it's always a method to the madness, if
yeah.
you will.
You know, there – I think that one of the things, if you're trying to be a championship type player,
mm-hmm.
I think that whenever if your season is ended
mm-hmm.
and you're not in that championship arena,
right.
I think you need to go to a championship.
You
need to see what a championship
right.
is, and I think that it's at that point. It's in the summer.
Mm-hmm.
It's in September.
Yep.
That's where the championship is won.
Oh, yeah.
It's not in February, March.
There you go.
It's back in those times.
Uh-huh. And that's the thing. It's in the beauty of, you know, that team, they were never, they were always underdog. It was always a kid playing at, you know, Team United or, you know, on this circuit or that circuit or being written about. None of those guys were ever written about. But at the end of the day, like you saying, toughness and attention to detail and them working, I believe out of that whole roster, nine of those guys had the opportunity to play college basketball. Mm-hmm. At JUCO level, Division III, Division II, Division I, all of them had the opportunity to play, and the majority of them actually went to play college basketball, but they understood what it took, and they kind of had that chip on their shoulder the whole time.
That's a. I think that's, again, when we talk about beyond winning, you know, it's those characteristics that I think are important. Important for the development of the young man because the toughness aspect, you know, being in that uncomfortable situation, you know, from that end. Let me kind of shift gears and maybe go a little bit on the other side is that, okay, you dealing with the team is one thing, but you're a head coach.
Right.
So you got several audiences that you have to deal with.
Right.
But how do you get parents? Mm. How do you get those parents, you know, to do they huddle, get in their huddle and say, God dang it, y'all better do what Coach Jones say.
Oh, man, it's tough. I mean, when you got good parents, just like I had a group of good parents, you, Chandler Murray's dad, you know, Derek Murray. So, I mean, I've been kind of blessed with good parents, you know, because you hear horror stories all the time about, you know, parents just kind of revolting against the coach and certain things because of whatever, X, Y, Z reason, whatever. But at the end of the day, like you said, parents actually need to kind of buy into, you know, what the coach is talking about, what he's trying to implement, regardless if their son or daughter is playing 2 minutes versus, you know, 35 minutes. Like, it really doesn't matter because at the end of the day, that's, you know, the kid is going to have to fight through whatever adversity or maintain whatever success he's has, and that kind of brings out a, you know, a different side of a kid once they kind of see those certain things. Because I'm not only speaking from a parent's perspective. I have a ninth grade daughter as well. She made varsity as a freshman, but she hit a wall at times. Mm-hmm. I mean, she, and going to the games, you know, I would hear parents talk whatever, and I would have to kind of bite my tongue a little bit. But it wasn't necessarily on a coach. For my daughter, it wasn't a coach at all. Mm-hmm. It was, you know, I would tell her, she's not boxing out. She's not running the floor. You're not taking a good shot at this point. So, you know, and at the end of the day, she went from playing middle school basketball to varsity high school basketball. Yeah, it's going to be a huge learning curve. Yeah. So you're not going to do everything the right way. But at the end of the day, like, I'm not going to pacify you, you know, fighting through a tough time. Yeah, we'll talk you through it. We're going to learn. But at the end of the day, like, you're going to have to fight through that.
Yeah. And that's, I mean, as you talk, I mean, you're as much a, you got a laboratory, you got a classroom, you know, these are lessons, you know, these are not only, I mean, clearly you want to be successful.
Right.
As a basketball coach.
Right.
But part of that responsibility is you got this classroom and you're trying to impart lessons and use different methodologies to help this person beyond that.
There you go. And that's the thing, like, you kind of hit the nail on the head, because you got to look at coaching as teaching. Coach K is probably one of the best teachers, you know, I've ever seen on the basketball court. So, I mean, when you look at certain guys like that, and I can go down the line, but just like in a classroom, in my classroom, my health classroom, my PE classroom, you can't teach every kid the same because you have certain kids coming from different backgrounds, you know, different levels academically. And the same thing applies on the basketball court. You cannot coach every kid the exact same because everybody's different. Every nuance, every movement, how you come at a kid. I remember, you know, if I can just pull a couple kids from the past, like a Quindon Cotman. Mm-hmm. He wouldn't – to get him to do what I needed him to do, I had to get on him a little bit, you know. I kind of had to push certain buttons for him to perform like I needed him to. And you flip – on the other side of that, you got guys like Josh Lancaster or Matt Powell. They kind of already knew what the deal was, and I didn't have to do that, you know, to them or for them. Or Keandre Byers, who I really had to push his buttons. Mm-hmm. But, you know, at the end of the day, they understood why I pushed buttons. They understood, you know, certain things I was trying to do. And those are the different methodologies that you're talking about. And that's if a coach has a blanket philosophy and coaches everybody the same way, something's a little wrong with that, you know, with that scene a little mm-hmm. bit. You know.
Yeah. You came up with a new phrase here. Coaching is teaching. You know, defense is offense, and coaching is teaching. I like that. You know, I like that. Yeah,
you can have that one.
Okay, all right. You know, we always put a few little twists on there.
There you go.
Coach, we're going to stop here for another break.
Okay.
And we're going to get to the point in the program.
Okay.
You know, this is the one of our little trademarks we developed.
Okay.
You know, I'm going to go so far as say the famous.
There you go.
The famous off-the-wall question. Okay?
I got you.
We're going to take a break. This is Beyond Winning. I'm here with Coach Maurice Jones. I'm Richard Lancaster. We're in Studio B.
There you go.
And also a shout-out to our partners out there of 82 Tabs and Fifth Column Network. You know, giving them a little love in the mix. We got a little Instagram feed going on. We're rookies at this, so, you know, just bear with us. We'll be back shortly after this break. This is Beyond Winning. Beyond the X's, beyond the O's, beyond winning. Here with Coach Maurice Jones of Philip O'Berry Academy. I'm Richard Lancaster, and we've been, just talking a little bit about his coaching philosophy, mm-hmm. about some things that are happening currently in the basketball community. Mm-hmm. And we've gotten to the point in our program where we have a little segment that we call the off the wall question. Just wanted to respond to Jay out there who sent us a question, and I think we might have touched on it a little bit, but how your coaching philosophy transferred from, you know, the court to to off the court.
Okay.
And we talked a little bit about that.
Yeah. And I guess to answer that question, starting from, and we kind of touched base on it a little bit earlier, like, is putting them in situations where, you know, they're uncomfortable. Because at the end of the day, like, you know, and every adult knows in the world that, you know, adversity comes at the drop of a dime, not knowing whatever, like, adverse situation can and will happen when you least expect it. And you have to be able to navigate and handle that situation, you know, fluently and efficiently, because at the end of the day, like, the game doesn't stop, just like the world doesn't stop.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
You got to keep
going. The trains keep running.
There you go.
Yeah. And the cows always need to be milked. So here it is. I kind of set it up for you.
Okay.
And it's actually, normally I give two options, but I think I got a third option.
All right.
Okay. And I talked a little bit about this with Corey Raley Ross, although I came from a different angle.
Right.
Okay. So you got Chadz Boseman,
uh-huh.
Lead in the Black Panther.
Right.
You got Michael B. Jordan, there also in the movie, but uh-huh. also in Fruitvale Station. In Creed.
Yep.
And then you got, you know, and I'm biased, you know, my man Denzel, okay, coming with Avenger 2.
Yeah.
And very interesting, the movie, because he referenced a number of books, mm-hmm. and I think that's really important. You know, he referenced the well-known Ta-Nehisi Coates,
mm-hmm.
Between the World and Me.
Yep.
There was another book, In Search of Truth.
Right.
Richard Wright's Native Son was in there.
Yep.
And then there was a Buddhist book called The Siddhita. I don't know if I've got that correct. So there was four. I remember the two.
Right.
And I went back to look it up, but then it brought back to mind Native Son, you know, in that one little scene.
Yeah.
So the off-the-wall question.
Off-the-wall question.
Chadz Boseman?
Uh-huh.
Michael B. Jordan?
Right.
Or Denzel Washington?
And that's a no-brainer. I'm old school, Denzel. And it's crazy you asked me that off-the-wall question. My kids, we had this conversation the other day just watching movies, because we actually took them to see Equalizer 2.
Okay.
last week. But when you talk about acting excellence, I mean, you can't, I mean, that's kind of, you know, that's kind of the Jordan LeBron question for me, you know what I'm saying?
Like, okay.
he pretty much epitomizes, like, on and off the screen, like, what, for one, what excellence looks like and what black excellence looks like. Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, you know, you can go from, you know, way back. I can even go to, you know, I don't know if you may or may not know this, A Soldier Story.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
So, I mean, yeah. I can go, you know, to those from those movies, early Denzel up to now. I mean, you know, it's very rare that you find an actor that can, you know, stand the test of time, go through, you know, countless errors, so to speak, you know, and still end up on top. Yeah.
You know? Well, it's interesting. You mentioned The Soldier Story, but you know, he's more of a trained Shakespearean.
There you go.
He got his start really in theater.
Yeah.
And I think it was with The Soldier Story before they made it a movie.
Yep.
Yeah. Now, when you say your kids, are these your children or are these your players?
No,
these
my children. So,
okay. So let me ask you, you know, to what extent does any of that mix in with your coaching as examples?
Just pulling different things that I see day in and day out outside of basketball. So when you talk about and you know where I coach, Philip O'Bear, we're on the west side of Charlotte, predominantly minority side of Charlotte. So when we talk about certain things outside of basketball, and we look at, you know, guys like, you know, the Jordan and LeBron question, or, you know, black guys themselves, or when you talk about, you know, Denzel Washington, you pull things in like, longevity, you pull in hard work, you pull in dedication, you pull in, you know, just discipline. And that's how you, you know, through no matter what era, through matter what time, through matter whatever you go through, to end up and stay on top. Like, it takes a lot of hard work, a lot of dedication. So, I mean, I pull a lot. We talk music. We talk so many things just sitting in my office with players, you know, just try to open their eyes and just expose them to different things and not be, you know, just stuck in that rut of their little bubble that they're in all the time.
I got you. Yeah. Well, I tell you, the one thing with Avenger 2 that I took from it, I was glad that the Ta-Nehisi Coates book was getting prominent play. Mm-hmm. I think that book, Toni Morrison says it should be required reading.
Yeah, okay.
And I would agree. I would agree. So, if you know, I'm just throwing a little hint out there. You want to give your boys something to take a look at.
And gotcha.
And then, you know, with the Black Panther, I thought the interesting thing about that was the lead roles of the women in the movie. Especially when I see Angela Bassett. I mean, I thought it was like, hey, that's all right,
you know.
From that end. And some of the other women that are playing that were key in not only the roles, but key in that community,
yeah.
You know, from that standpoint. Yeah. And that the Black Panther had to, respected them for what they bought, you know, in keeping the thing going. Okay. And Jordan, you know, that young man in Fruitville Station, I mean, that was something from that end. We're talking about icons.
Right.
And I think it'd be amiss if we didn't recognize, the passing of Aretha Franklin, the Queen of Soul.
Oh, yeah.
Speak to, you know, what thoughts do you have when you think of Aretha?
I grew up, like you said, old school. So just my grandmother, my mom and dad, I mean, just crates and crates of records. But pretty much every Aretha Franklin record I've heard, listened to, from Natural Woman to, you know, that's old Aretha, for gospel, I mean, any, you know, and all songs, like, you know, but to
respect. Yeah.
But just, I mean, when somebody like that passes, now granted, her music's going to stand the test of time and go on forever, but when you lose, like you said, an icon like that, I mean, that's a hit on the, you know, on our community. And, you know, just growing up on that, just listening to certain songs and understanding what she's singing about, you know, respect, the Natural Woman, just, you know, everything that she spoke on really kind of spoke volumes to our community, you know, and losing her is huge, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. And the thing about it is that you talk about toughness.
Mm-hmm.
You talk about being to that point of being uncomfortable.
Right.
You know, I think it was Langston Hughes and his mom talking about, you know, life for her was no crystal stair.
There you go.
You know, from that, and she, but for whatever the setback she had personally,
mm-hmm.
she kept coming with that, using that gift.
There you go.
And she had to, you know, she had to work to find her voice. I think when mm-hmm. she was at Columbia, I heard some of the radio programs say that she was really trying to find, you know, being a jazz blues singer.
Glad you say,
you know?
Yep.
And then it wasn't until she got over to Atlantic mm-hmm. and she developed that style, from that end.
Yeah.
Well, Coach, I've appreciated. I mean, again, this has been a great session.
Yeah.
You know, it seems like it just blows by. I know there's a number of things more that we could talk about, but that means you got to come back
again.
I'm glad
to come back 100 more times.
Yeah, and I mean, I just think of something. You were talking earlier, and you were mentioning some of the other coaches,
mm-hmm.
and one that you had mentioned, hopefully maybe we'll get him on the program, Ty Bumgarner.
Oh, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
I mean, you know, now from, I mean, you guys are good friends.
Yeah.
You know, and he's a good coach.
Oh, yeah.
One of the coaches that in the league that, you know, I had a lot of respect for.
Oh, yeah.
But there was those were some of the highlights, I think, in the Barry Olympic time period.
Yeah.
And that he had in 12-13, he had a hell of a team.
30-0, I believe.
Yeah.
30-0.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, and it was interesting about that is that I had a lot of respect for that team. You know, knew a couple of kids on mm-hmm. the team, you know, really good kids,
yep.
and went up to see them play. And like you mentioned B.J. Glad.
Uh-huh.
You mentioned Darius Parks.
Yep.
I'm trying to think of the guard that was
C.J. Jackson.
When C.J. Jackson yep. was on that team that's
mm-hmm.
now at Ohio State.
Yep.
But the other guard, the point guard for them, went to, I believe he went to Radford. No, went to Marymount. We're going to get in trouble because we came in.
Yeah.
You tweet his name out.
Yeah,
when
I will.
You know,
I will.
And, there was another gentleman that I became aware of, another player, and he's in Charlotte now. You know, went to school at Kansas.
Correct.
Now got drafted by the Charlotte Hornets, Devontae Graham.
Okay, you know, that's right.
Devontae was on the other side playing for Broad.
Yeah,
you know,
I forgot about that.
That was my first exposure.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, Coach, again, you know, great to have you on. You know, really appreciate you having a discussion and dialogue.
No,
it's
no
always
problem.
Always good to see you.
No problem. Always.
And again, you know, thank you and wish you the best, you know, in this upcoming season.
Yeah, we need it.
Yep. Well, everyone, this has been Beyond Winning. We've had Coach Maurice Jones with us from Barry Academy. I'm Richard Lancaster, and you see, we're trying to come at you from different ways, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. We did a little live feed today. If you do get a chance, hit us up. Email bwsoulofcoaching@gmail.com and tell us what you liked about the program. Tell us where, you know, we got you interested. Tell us where we might have put you to sleep. you know, tell us where we need to improve and get better.
Go. There you go.
But in any regard, you know, please tell us. So as I always like to say, signing off, please stay aware, stay with it, and stay on it. This is Beyond Winning with Richard Lancaster. Also, we are broadcasting from the studios of Studio B here in Gastonia. And again, a shout out to the Fifth Column Network and 82 Tabs. Everyone, have a good evening, and we will see you on the next time.
Oh, yeah.
Take care. Beyond Texas, beyond the ocean.